Welcome back to Their Soulmates, a Ted Lasso podcast. My name is Tori.
And I'm Kevin.
We're your after show where we really dig into the characters of Ted Lasso and Rebecca Welton, how they are connected, why they are soulmates, and God damn it, why at some point.
Wow. The cursing has already started.
This is going to happen. I still believe.
All right.
Okay.
I still believe too.
Yeah, no. I'm actually joking around. Like, I fully believe that we're still going in the right direction. We're just...
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely some stuff happened in this episode that felt like could be set back, mm-hmm. but also stuff happened that felt like could move... It felt like it could move things forward.
Yeah. Yes.
In my personal opinion.
I have no doubt that they're just... I'm getting nervous because I'm worried that they're going to drag it all the way out to the very end. So you know how, like, if you watch The Proposal. Did you ever watch The Proposal?
I don't think so.
Okay.
If I did, I blocked it out.
It's a good movie.
I know, I just don't remember.
Okay, The Lost City. You saw that one recently, right?
What's that?
With me? The Sandra Bullock and Channing.
No, you and AV watched that.
Oh.
I was out of town or something.
Okay. Well, in The Lost City.
Try again.
And this is a spoiler for The Lost City if you haven't seen
it. I've seen When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah, I'll get there, yeah.
Okay.
They kiss at the very end of the movie.
Right.
And that's how you know they're together.
She saw his penis before that, didn't she?
She did. I thought you didn't see the movie.
I know that scene.
Okay.
Where she's taking the slugs.
That
off
is true.
Because you were talking about watching right. that with Avi.
That's a trope where they that's put them in an intimate situation that's embarrassing and uncomfortable. And yes, that did happen, but she doesn't kiss him until the very end of the movie.
Okay.
And that's fine because it's like an hour and a half movie that you've invested
right, but
your
this
time
is,
in.
But this is what I've said.
I don't... What,
no,
what,
go ahead.
What?
I've said this. I said that could happen at the very end and then there'll be time jumps. Like...
Oh, I see.
They kiss,
like you see
and then,
them
you know, in the last
on.
15 minutes, 6 months later,
right, right,
two
right.
years later.
Well, they can still do that
that's what
and
I'm
have
saying.
Them get together... Like, so then with Harry Met Sally, they get together a bit earlier in the film, kind of before they're ready, kind of causes. Like, I think there's like a format for a lot of romance novels, romance movies, but there's usually like something happens, everything looks great, and then something else happens.
It goes
and
downhill.
Everything looks terrible.
Right,
and then
right.
at the end, they
okay,
come back together.
I understand what you're saying.
So... My thought is we've invested 3 years in these people. I would like to see a little more of them actually being together before everything goes to shit and then we get the happy ending.
I see.
But at this point, I would just like for them to be in the same room together without other people around.
I know. It's crazy. We haven't gotten that.
Yeah. And that's why I'm getting... Like, I do. I have faith. This is going to turn out the way it's supposed to turn out. But... I just don't want it to get to the end and you're kind of like, oh, why did she fall in love with him? You know, like, and when Harry Met Sally, you know why they like each other.
Right, because they were talking on the phone a lot and there were all these things.
Yeah, so I think I need, even if it's not, I just need to see them, like, being together in a friendly way. Like, when you and I, before you and I started dating,
yeah,
we were, like, in that awkward part. A couple months before where we were hanging out a lot, but not really putting a label on it.
Right.
I kind of feel like that would be a natural progression for them to figure out. Like, it can't be all the cosmic stuff. We need to see, like, a real.
Okay.
And I think we will.
That's fair.
But we're just, like, in episode 6, so I'm starting to sweat a tiny bit.
Mm.
But we'll see. Okay. If you are enjoying this at all, please consider leaving.
After all that.
A rating or a review on Spotify or iTunes. I said it last week and we got 2 new ones, so it worked. Thank you.
All right.
And then I want to mention something else before we get started because this made me laugh. This past week on Twitter, so you're never on Twitter. I'm only the one.
I'm not on our Twitter. I just don't even go on Twitter.
Right, right.
Again, it's accessible.
And I'm the only one that tweets on our Twitter. But yeah, I mean, you're right, because once this show is over, I think I have to leave Twitter.
It's toxic.
Leave it behind.
I mean, not our stuff.
No.
And there is a lot on there. It's not toxic.
Yes, but like,
but even the non-toxic posts get toxic because people get on there and start writing stuff that makes no sense. Or,
well, this past week, there was a lot of drama with spoilers getting out for the show before.
That's why I'm
not. And I have no willpower. So like, I can't just be like, I'm not going to go on Twitter for the rest of the day because I might see a spoiler. I can't. I have no self-control.
Yeah, I know.
So then I end up getting spoiled. But then there are other times where Twitter is so much fun. So earlier this week, somebody posted a tweet that showed a Tumblr post. I know all of this doesn't make any sense to you, where a person was talking about
how Tumblr is.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. The post says, so there's a group of teachers at my school that meet every week in the library to talk about the latest episode of Ted Lasso and what it means for Ted Becca. There's also a nemesis group of equally passionate fans of this show that despise the first group for wanting Ted Becca
endgame. Oh my gosh. There's going to be a fight, like West Side Story.
Then there's a third group of like five teachers who haven't seen it and don't give a fuck. Mm. Then with that post, so I guess the person who wrote it saw it, and then they're also on Twitter, so they gave a little more context. And I guess it's a couple of groups of teachers that are in Canada. And so I wrote back and said, tell them about our podcast. And then they wrote back and said they already know that, that a few of them, that's how they were turned from just normal people watching a television show.
Into changing the world one listener at a time.
Right, but for the worse, because I'm sorry. I know that it occupies too much of your brain, and I feel you. Like, this is...
I know. You know, when I discussed this week, God, that was a lot of this is in a sense. We discussed that, or I brought it up to you. I'm like, you know, there's people out there that say, oh, I think there's a new Ted Lasso that came out last night. You want to watch? Yeah. We'll watch it this weekend.
Right, yeah.
When we are out here at 9 o'clock on Tuesday night.
I know.
Trying to get the kids to bed and get everything done so we can watch it because we have to. It's like I've never stress watched a show this much in my life.
I know. And we didn't have this before because we had already watched the two seasons and then we did the podcast.
Right, and then you came up with the bright idea to do a podcast. and that's when it all went downhill.
And now it's like I sit down and I'm stress eating popcorn for at least the first 15 minutes of the show.
Yes.
So I know. Yes. So I'm sorry that we have partially ruined a part of your life. When this show is over, I hope that you can rebuild and move on. And I promise I'm going to stop watching television because I cannot get sucked into any other shows.
You know what's what must be really nice is the person who hasn't watched Ted Lasso at all and maybe starts now. You know what I mean? And they can just watch the whole, binge the whole thing. I'm jealous of that person.
Me too.
Would be a pleasurable experience.
That's another new rule I'm going to have in my life is that I don't watch TV that's still ongoing.
Right. It's got to all be done.
Yeah. Well, I can't handle this.
Well, we picked up Ted Lasso late.
We did, but then we watched the first season.
And then the second season came out a couple weeks later.
And at that point, I was still mostly a regular person.
Right.
And then by the end of that, then we waited over a year for this.
And then I got that dreaded phone call or whatever. We should do a Ted Lasso podcast. And I'm like, are you crazy?
We still haven't finished our other podcast. I know. But we will. We will.
Oh, all right.
Okay. So, but yeah, I'm not watching any TV that's ongoing anymore. I want to just be able to sit love down.
Be like that, you can't get invested in the characters. That's your problem.
That's my problem. Yeah. As soon as there's some kind of connection, I can't. I don't have the willpower to walk away. So I just have to not be exposed to it. I can only watch like things about zombies. Mm-hmm. No relationships.
Come on.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm sorry for all of us that are out there just letting this consume too much of our brain. But we're almost there. We have 6 episodes left, and then we'll be free.
Yes. Free of a show that I enjoy. I don't get it.
I know. That's the sad thing. Like, I love it. I just can't handle the stress anymore of worrying about what's going to happen if we're going to have to burn down this damn podcast. And this episode was exceptionally stressful. Mostly because I saw spoilers and then got scared, but I actually love the episode. And the more we've watched it, I've loved it even more.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too.
The first time I was a bit confused, like, what is going on here? Especially with Ted's part.
Two things got me in this episode real quick. And I mean, we're going to dive into everything. When Rebecca fell into the canal, I was like, what the?
Because you knew nothing about that.
No.
I knew a little bit.
I was
bit.
Like, whoa, what the? And then Ted in the restaurant with the hallucination.
With God and, yeah.
Yeah, that was, I'm the like, okay, what am I watching right now?
I know. It was kind of like everything everywhere all at once.
Yes.
Like, I spent most of the time we watched that movie being like, what the fuck
yeah,
is going on?
Yeah, there are plenty of what the fuck moments in that movie, that's for sure.
And then at the end, you're like, oh, okay. I mean, I see.
Yeah, it just took the long road to get there.
Yeah. So it was that's kind of how this episode was. Like, after I processed it all, I was like, okay, I see what they're doing here.
Except nobody's fighting each other with 2-foot-long dildos.
Bloody dildos. Weren't they bloody?
I don't...
Oh, my gosh.
There were moments I checked out in that movie.
This episode, I could have used...
Spoiler alert.
Hot dog fingers. I think that would have been funny.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Yeah, if you haven't... Sorry.
If you haven't seen that movie.
I'm sure everyone's seen it.
All right.
The episode we're going to cover today is called Sunflowers. It was released on April 19th, 2023. The story is by Joe Kelly and Jason Sudeikis. The teleplay is by Brendan Hunt. So whenever those three work together, it's usually how that
And goes. This was, I know I keep derailing us. This was one of those episodes that at the last, kind of messed up filming, because the last, I don't want to say last minute, but I know it was Jason Sudeikis was like, we want to go to Amsterdam. Like, didn't they change, they had a...
Yeah, I believe
I remember
this
reading
was written,
something about that.
Yeah,
or you told me.
There was an
I don't read anything.
Yeah, I don't,
you
I
tell
think
me
the
things.
Going to Amsterdam was like...
It was like a last minute
that happened.
Yeah, they changed the script and then, yeah, okay.
Yeah. But they actually shot more of it in London, I'm realizing now, because I follow Paul on Instagram, who's the set designer.
Uh-huh.
And oh my God, that boat set is gorgeous. But he always will go back and like post what
I'm sure
built.
All that's London.
Yes, he said they built the boat set in London.
Of course.
So like they did, you know, I'm sure the canal part and all that stuff.
All
in
the
Amsterdam.
Exteriors, yep.
Yeah, it seems like mostly like for Roy and Jamie and for... Because the hotel room where the guys are trying to decide where to go, that's also a set in London.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, wait a minute. Or was that a set in... One of them was in Amsterdam, but I think it was the jazz club.
Okay, that would make sense too, but...
But I love anyway. Seeing... And I hope they post a behind the scenes of how they composited... Is that even what you call it anymore? Rebecca in the water, so... Or Hannah in the water, so it looked like she was really in Amsterdam. Because
yeah, in that canal.
I'm sure she did not get in that water. Okay, and then I forgot to say it was directed by Matt Lipsey, who also directed last week's, and I believe will be directing next week's as well.
All right.
So when this episode starts, they are in Amsterdam for a friendly, but it's gone poorly.
Yes, it has.
And they've lost. Ted says we can't even pull it together for an exhibition.
Yeah.
And the guys remind him that this is actually called a friendly.
Well, yeah, Beer just says, or I'm sorry,
Roy
just says friendly. And he said, nothing friendly about this match.
Now, I have been to one football game, and even I know what a friendly is.
Right.
So there's no way Ted wouldn't know. I feel like sometimes...
How could you be coached for a third season and not know what a friendly is?
I think sometimes he's just... going for the joke there.
Yeah.
He plays the stupid one.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that makes
keep
sense.
Keep it going. They are playing Three Little Birds, which I guess is the actual, hopefully I'll say it right, Ayak, like song.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
like
they play at their
song
games.
They play at
yeah. And Rebecca is pounding a glass of champagne, much like she did after she and Sam broke up in front of Ted. And says, this song is so depressing.
I know. Meanwhile, it's like one of the most positive songs ever.
I know. Oh, so funny. So she's ready to just like be done with this, go out for the night. And Keeley and Higgins are there. But Higgins says that he can't hang out tonight because this is his first time in Amsterdam. and he has an appointment with somebody very special in the red light district.
I believe I thought he even said date, didn't he?
Oh yeah, he probably did say date.
Which everybody's like, what?
Yeah, they're like, what? Nah. Like, did we suddenly just realize that Julie and Leslie are a much different couple than we originally thought?
Right. Well, and originally that's what I thought he was going to end up meeting her in the red light district.
Oh.
I thought she was coming there or something.
Oh, that would, that's, yes.
Because I couldn't think that Higgins was going to look for the sex.
You knew it had to be something. Not.
Yeah, he says he has a date with someone special.
Okay, yeah. You knew it has to be something, but we don't know what it is.
Right.
Then Keely bails on her because it was odd that Keely's even here because she bails so quickly and then we don't see her again. But
it bridged the gap, I think, for Jack, for Rebecca knowing about Jack.
Yeah,
because
we get a good conversation where
we realize now she knows.
Rebecca knows what's going on. Yeah. And she says that Jack is waiting for her with a plane because they're going to go to Norway and watch the Aurora Borealis.
Borealis. That's the most Borealis. Whatever all that means.
It's ever been.
Yeah.
But it's sad that she ditched Rebecca.
I know, because they weren't able to connect really last episode.
Yeah, that's...
I thought there was going to be something that were not a blow up, but like, what's wrong? Why are you avoiding me? But it just, now it seems like she knows about Jack and everything's good.
Yeah. Like, I think...
I think that's cool. I like that this show does this.
Yeah.
Because some of the predictable things I think are going to happen don't.
Don't. Right.
And I love that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're fine. She knows that Keely got caught up. I'm sure she ditched Keely plenty of times when she was having sex with Sam. So, you know, I feel like they're good. But I also think that they have to be having these people separated for a reason. Like, every time Rebecca goes to call Keely, she's not there.
Right.
This episode, Ted's actually trying to call Rebecca. She's not answering.
Oh, right.
Rebecca
of course.
And Ted haven't even had a solo biscuits with the boss the entire season. So I'm hoping that there is a reason why they are being separated, and we will find out. So Keely goes off, and Roy could see her conversation. So he comes up, and he says, you know, where is she going? And Rebecca says, somewhere that believes they deserve her.
I know. Zing.
Funny. Yeah.
He deserves that.
He absolutely does. So the guys are all bummed out because they lost the game. And they're also feeling the same. Like, we couldn't even pull it together for a friendly. So to cheer them up, Ted decides he's going to tell them that there is no curfew for the night and that they don't have to be back there until 10 a.m. the next morning to catch the bus home. So they have the entire night.
Right. In Amsterdam.
Yeah. And Danny suggests that they take a little nap first so that they can stay up later.
I know. And then Isaac said, we power through. I love that Isaac makes every single decision as the captain,
right.
even like what they're going to do recreationally.
Right. But it's, you know what? Somebody has to make a decision.
I know.
When you have, they are terrible at it, one, but also it's just hard with a group that large.
It is. I know. Trust me. I know.
From your bachelor party
my bachelor party planning days, which I was very good at, mind you.
You were.
But even like when I take some guy trips, you get like 4 or 5 guys. Even with four or five, it's like somebody still wants to go something else completely different. It's hard to get everyone on the same page. Anyway.
Rebecca's now changed into more casual clothes, and she's just taking a little stroll around Amsterdam. She gets a phone call from Sassy, who is like, what is going on? Something is wrong. And she's like, no, it's fine. Everything's fine. And she says that she senses something. But the only thing really going on is that bicycles are flying past her.
I know.
On either side. Because she doesn't realize that she's standing in the bike lane.
I know. That's great.
So she reminds Sassy that she's in Amsterdam. And then Sassy's like, oh, I'm so jealous. I'm surprised that, well, she couldn't because she would have had sex with Ted. But I'm surprised Sassy didn't want to go to Amsterdam so she could have sex with Ted. But then Ted's storyline was very different.
I know. I'm surprised she didn't find a way to get in on it. But you're right.
Yeah. I mean, she probably was invited knowing Rebecca. She just.
But that storyline is old. I mean, not old, but predictable. And again,
her
show,
and Ted hooking up on this?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It would have been predictable. So. For that to not happen,
Unless
that's another good thing about this show.
Yeah. unless they had done like something where we think they're going to hook up and then for some reason they don't. And if that led to us finding out that Ted likes Rebecca, I'd be all for it. Anyway, back to this. So
I know. I'm sorry. The insanity of this episode. Like, it's obvious she's standing in a bike lane. There's big white bikes painted on the street. And everyone else is walking on the other side. I mean, so Rebecca.
I know. But she's not paying attention. She's on her phone talking. She's just out. She's so proud of herself that she left the hotel without her bag in the first place. So,
right.
Yeah, she's not at all paying attention. So we know that she doesn't have her bag with her. She only has her phone. Sassy tells her, go eat a space cake.
Right.
And call me when you freak out. Which we looked it up because we weren't sure what space cake was. But it just means infused with... in Amsterdam, especially, it means infused with THC. Because I wasn't sure if it was like a harder drug.
But is it an actual cake?
Yeah, I think it's an edible where they make little... Like a little brownie, like a one person serving of a piece of cake.
All right.
I could never do that.
No, that would be it for you.
So,
especially edibles, they move fast.
Yeah, I can barely handle.
Or they don't move fast, but when they do move,
it
is fast. It's 30 minutes later, and you're like, okay, what just happened?
I've had so many of my friends tell me that they took more because it didn't work.
Yes, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Before, and it was awful. Like, I don't feel a thing, and I ate more. And then all of a sudden, it felt like a pile of weights landed on my shoulders. It was weird.
I know. I'm such a dork that I'll, like, just break off a tiny piece of it, like, and try that one night. And then if that goes well, try more another time.
That's not being a dork. That's being smart.
I'm just not good with drugs. What happened?
Let me save that soundbite.
My body doesn't like it. So there's a handsome Dutch man who is on his boat, also on the phone, when he sees Rebecca standing in the bike lane. So he whistles at her, and she's just like, okay, this guy's whistling at me, what? And she's gotten off the phone with Sassy. So she says, what? And he says, I saw a beautiful woman, and I feel like I have to tell you something. She's like, okay, whatever.
She's like, here we go.
Yeah, what do you want to tell me? Then three bikes whiz by her. And Rebecca goes head first into this canal. And you really were taken by surprise.
Oh, God. I was like, oh, my God. Because it's like the fall is violent.
It
like
is.
She rolls. She's upside down.
I know. Oh,
which.
Yep. There it is.
Upside down in water.
Upside down. Underwater,
why didn't she address that?
Drenched.
You think she comes to this conclusion later?
Probably. Mm. Or she. See, my thought is at this point. The first two predictions were true. Then the one that she had the most hope about isn't true. So I think she's now back to this, like, that was all bullshit, and probably tried to put it out of her head.
Right.
So if I don't know if she puts it together here, maybe she'll put it together later. But I feel like she's trying to put it out of her head, and maybe it didn't. Plus, she's also probably just like, what the fuck?
Right, exactly. That's true.
I knew about that scene a little bit because when they were shooting it, a Dutch man who had no idea what Ted Lasso is started recording because he was like in his apartment above and he's like, oh, they're shooting something down here.
Oh, wow.
He starts recording, puts it on Twitter, and immediately Ted Lasso people found
it. So you've known about it for a long time.
Yeah. So I knew that Rebecca was going to fall. Obviously, that's a stunt woman. She didn't do that part, but they just showed... the guy recorded up until you see her like back up against the railing before they cut to the stunt person. And then they had the stunt person in the water and she was kind of on a boat off to the side saying her lines to the actor, but she wasn't in the water. So whenever they did Hannah in the water, it was probably on a set in London.
Yeah, that makes sense.
With a small little warm pool.
Right.
So now she's talking to the Dutch man from the canal. And she asked him if he saw her phone. Where her phone went, which he
fell. Like, come on.
Yeah, that sunk to the bottom immediately. And he's like, no, but don't worry about it. And he's trying to get her to come over to his boat so he can help her out of the water. He's like, you need to get warm and get out of there. Don't worry about your phone. And she's like, but it's my phone. So he throws his own phone into the water.
No, it's crazy.
And she's like, oh, okay, fair enough. Before he goes to get her out of the water, she asks him, what was it you were going to tell me?
I know.
And he says that you were walking in the bike lane. And I love her reaction to that because she's so annoyed.
Right.
How the fuck should I know that?
Right, because it's big red. It's a big red lane that had white bike.
Yes.
White bike symbols painted on it.
But you know what?
And there was a lot of bikes coming at you.
When you do something stupid like that, at that point, you're just so irritated at yourself and embarrassed that you're gonna lash out. So, do you know what? Are you familiar with the term meet cute?
No, but I see it written here in the notes.
So back to like the romance rom-com style. A meet cute is when the two characters in the movie meet for the first time.
Oh, I see.
So if this was a rom-com movie, that would be a meet cute. And it would be a pretty good one. Like
I just thought that you had put meet cute like you like the Dutch guy. So I was a little confused in the notes. I'm like, wow, she likes him.
Man, she really liked him.
She thought he was cute. Me, cute. And it's all in caps.
I'm going to give an unpopular opinion right now. I really did like him.
I know. I thought you did, too.
I mean, I'm sure people like the actor. The actor was fantastic.
He was great. He was very good.
We looked him up on IMDb, and he mostly is in Dutch films.
Yeah, he seemed familiar to me, but I think I'm confusing him with another actor that I've yet to be named.
Yeah, so, you know, this is not the direction we're wanting to go in, but I like the guy. And the character is weird, but I feel like it's weird for a reason. So she's all mad. So if this was a rom-com, so like When Harry Met Sally, we'll use that one because you've seen it.
Yeah.
The meet cute is when they first meet to drive the car.
Right.
But they technically have three of them because then they meet again in the airport.
Yeah.
And then they meet again in the bookstore. But yes, I think we're getting the rom-com trope, but not with the right person.
Yep.
And I think for a reason, because when they do the actual storyline that they're telling, it won't be the common rom-com. So meanwhile, I thought Ted was hanging out in Beard's room, but I think they're sharing a room.
Yeah, my thought is maybe it's a suite and has two bedrooms and they're hanging out because, you know, they're pretty close. They don't mind splitting a room, you know, sharing a room.
Just in the past, they haven't.
Right.
But they didn't so that he could have sex with somebody else. So I guess in this one, it doesn't really matter. So they had them in the same room.
Right.
Now, Beard's in the bathroom getting himself all done up to go out.
Combing his beard.
And he has like the little pads under his eyes.
For the swelling of underneath the...
Yeah. I like a man that takes care of his face like that.
I would do that.
We have them. Ask our daughter.
Oh, yeah, I know.
She'll put them on for me. She'll do a full facial for you. Yes,
that's a good point.
Love it.
Yeah.
So Beard's rambling about something that Ted doesn't really care about or is not really listening to. And it's like when you're not paying attention to your kid when they're talking and you're just like, oh, yeah, buddy, that's cool.
Right. He's not listening to what Beard's saying at all.
So instead, he's texting Rebecca. Now, you can see a couple of the text that he's already sent her above.
Yeah,
and I love it. So he says, and it's pronounced Ajax, or N-A-J-X is how you pronounce it. And then she just writes back, Ajax.
Right, which is great. He doesn't even know how to say the team that they're playing.
But honestly, I'm a dumb American. I would have thought it was Ajax at first, too.
Yeah, but I know in some languages, the J becomes Y sounding. I know in Spanish it does.
Yeah, so, like highlight.
Right.
He sends back the little mind-blown emoji.
And it's the Ted mind-blown emoji
so
with the little mustache.
That's a real emoji, right?
Yeah, of course it is.
It has to be because it's Apple.
Yeah.
And she just ha-has it. So now he writes, hey, boss, you got any plans for later? Let's hang with an exclamation point. I was a little surprised by this because it's the first time we've seen Ted reaching out to Rebecca to like hang out outside of work.
Right.
And you can't really say that he has any motives other than he wants to hang out with her.
Right.
Like,
well, he never does. So he thought maybe it'd be cool.
Right.
We're in Amsterdam. You know, I'll go hang out with the boss.
Yeah. But the fact that he gets pretty bummed that she's not answering his messages kind of makes a little bit like he might be thinking about her more than he realizes.
Well, and I think that's why he's just, which leads to the next part where he says, I'm feeling stuck or something. I'm stuck in my own head. And
right.
Like something's not right. Like maybe he's like thinking, he's not necessarily realizing maybe that he's falling for Rebecca or going, but it's going in that direction. Like, he doesn't know why it feels this way, you know?
Like, he just wants to be around her.
Right.
Everybody remembers that feeling of, like, hoping that you're going to do something with someone and then it gets so late that you realize that you're really, there's no way you're going to meet up at this point.
Right.
So you can just kind of see that in him. And he is a bit more, and even when he's typing the message, which if you notice, he types the message and we see the full thing. Mm-hmm. And then they show a different angle and he's still typing on the phone. But later when we see the message, it's the exact same message.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, well, that was just bad editing. Yeah. Not bad, but editing purposes because that's what they had. But I was thinking, what if he's doing that thing, or we're supposed to think he's doing that thing, where you're erasing and then retyping and then erasing.
Right, erasing.
And then you just put what you had originally and hit send.
Right, right.
So he just seems like he's a bit like trying to sound casual in the text. But if he was typing stuff and retyping, then that's even more telling. So Beard comes out from the bathroom and asks if he found a place for dinner, and Ted did not.
Well, he did, but Beard poo-pooed it.
No, but not yet, because at that point, he was so wrapped up in trying to text Rebecca that he forgot to...
Oh, that's right. That's right. You're right. I'm getting ahead of myself. You know, right.
Then he does find it.
And then he poo-poos it.
Yes, because Ted recommends an American bar in Amsterdam. Yeah. I can't remember the name of it. Damn it. Oh, well, doesn't matter.
Yankee Doodle.
Oh, yeah,
Yankee
something
Doodle
like that.
Something.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I've gone too far in the episode, but fine. Yeah.
Beard's like, how many stars? 2.7?
It was 2.7.
And he's like, no, we can do better than that. So that's when he goes into the whole, you know, like, I feel stuck. I don't really know what's going on. I feel like I need to do something. And he's like, I feel like I need to get punched in the face.
I know. Or drink a couple of bottles of wine and yell at my mother.
Yeah. He said, just something I've never done before. So I wonder if that's another reason he's feeling antsy, like, and he was going to go hang out with Rebecca because
he's trying to
do stuff that he wouldn't normally do.
Well, and it's the Yankee Doodle Burger Barn.
Oh, thank you.
He's trying to do, I think he's just like, I'm stuck in my head. This is Rebecca, but also the team is in a rut. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's so many things going on. And then what's going on at home with Jacob in...
Right.
He's just so much in, there's so much poopé in Ted's head right now that he can't clear it, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
No, that's a good point. Beard's response is that he's been waiting for Ted to say that for a long time.
I know. Okay. Because that means he's noticed.
Yes. And on the bus earlier in the episode, when Ted gives the guys no curfew, he's like, they need it. And Beard says, not as much as you do.
Yeah.
And we know that Beard is getting a bit annoyed with Ted not confronting people who hurt him and speaking up for himself. So
right.
I think the fact that he's seeing that Ted wants to shake it up a bit is hopeful for him. We see Rebecca on, I'm going to call this guy Floating Dutch Man.
Floating Dutch Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a Tori Amos
song. You never learn
his
name.
You don't. There's a Tori Amos song called Flying Dutchman, which is...
Not
refers
at all what
to
this
Flying
is,
Dutchmen's but... who are ghost ships,
right.
Pirate ships. But I'm going to call him Floating Dutchman because he's floating in his little house.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't find out his name. People online were also calling him Dutch Ted, which I agree with.
Dutch Ted.
And we'll get to. So she gets out of the shower at his house and she realizes that she's alone. And then she sees that her clothes are in like the combo washer dryer that he has in his kitchen. And she reaches in and she touches them a bit and she's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, they're still wet.
Yeah.
And you know what? From our experience traveling in London using those combo washer dryers, it's going to take a real long time before your stuff's done.
We had never used one of those before when we went, mostly because we haven't traveled until last summer.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. What does Rebecca say? Travel is the best form of education?
Yes. She's absolutely right.
Yeah. We had one of them at two Airbnbs we stayed in while we traveled. And at first I was like, oh, this one must be broken because the dryer is taking so long.
Oh, it's awful.
No. Since in the other one, and when I went back, we had another one. And they just seem to take a long time.
Well, remember we had one in France, in Paris.
Oh, yeah.
Same
yeah.
thing.
So I don't.
That one I think was a little bit better, but same difference. We the stuff. A load of laundry is 2.5 hours.
Yeah. If you,
To wash it maybe and then dry it, and sometimes four.
Yeah, it takes a while. But someone from the UK, please tell me. If you're a family of like four or six, do you also have that as your only washing machine, or do they have full-size washing machines?
They have full-size. We stayed in Airbnbs that I think space-wise.
Oh, you're right. Wait. The house that we went to, that we stayed in a couple days before we left London, they had full-size side-by-side.
Yes, they did. That's right. But I think just two we stayed in were just like at a convenience and space.
Yes, and I totally get that. For one person, you can deal with it. But I couldn't imagine like having a newborn and one of those washing machines. You would be doing laundry 24 hours a day.
Yep.
At first, I thought Rebecca was mad that he put her expensive clothes in the laundry. Because I figured everything had to be dry cleaned.
Right,
because
you know even Rebecca's casual outfits are very expensive clothes as well. There's no.
But there is an Instagram and Twitter account called Rebecca Welton's Wardrobe. No, yes. And she or he I actually don't know, will find the outfits that
right. I remember you telling me about that.
And that jacket is Zara. So that one actually, and it says that you can wash it. The scarf, however, was dry clean only.
You can tell in the end of the episode that that thing is ruined.
It had a hard day. So she reaches in and realizes that her stuff is not dry, so she cannot escape this man's house. Because at this point, she knows nothing about him.
Right. I mean, like, it's shocking that she would even go in and stay there, you know, take a shower.
Right.
But whatever. I mean, you know, that's what this episode's all about.
So, she's probably wanting to get out of there as soon as possible, especially since he kind of whistled at her from the his boat
right.
Before she fell in the water, which is kind of unnerving for a woman. And then, you know, threw his phone in the water and then fished her out. So, yeah, I would have every reason to think or just at least be cautious while you're in there.
Right. Like this guy many minutes coming out in a suit full of human skin. And then what?
I think she could take him. She starts wandering around, is looking at stuff. She notices that there's like military stuff on the walls.
That's right.
He's most likely in the military. Mm-hmm. She keeps wandering.
I feel like it was probably, obviously, he was Air Force.
Yeah,
because there's everything's air stuff, KLM airlines and planes and stuff all around.
She keeps wandering towards the back. And there is a child's bedroom. Looks like a little girl's bedroom.
Yeah. Which she kind of smiles.
Yep. She smiles because she's like, okay, well, this guy's a daughter. Mm-hmm. So he probably won't murder me here. At least there'll be another location.
Right. Because so serial killers never have children.
She wanders. That's a good point. She wanders back out in the living room, finds a little tea kettle on the coffee table. And there's a note on it that says, for you. And then she takes the note and looks at it. Opens it up and it says, it's not drugged. I promise.
Yeah, that's excellent.
But wouldn't someone who drugged it say that?
Yeah. Oh, it's not drugged. I promise. Enjoy.
Right. We have a good time. But he's being truthful, obviously, and it is not drugged. So she pours some tea, takes a sip, and my heart broke the first time because she says, fuck me.
Right. Which is what she said after the first time she had biscuits.
Yes.
Sad.
Ted's biscuits. So she likes
Ted's biscuits.
The tea.
I don't know about the first time she's ever had biscuits, what she said. That's what I meant.
I know. When you say Ted's biscuits, it just sounds dirty. I don't.
All right. Well, you went there, not me.
Especially because in my notes it said, when she first tasted Ted's biscuits. That's even worse. Beard's decision for making Ted get out of his head and try something new
right.
is to do drugs.
Yeah, that's something that Kenneth the bus driver provided. Which we all know. He likes snake venom.
Yeah. Toad venom or whatever.
Oh, toad venom. Oh. Snake venom or toad venom?
I think you're right. It is snake venom. I'm just thinking of toad venom from X-Files.
Oh.
Because Avi and I recently watched the one again from season 10 with the lizard man.
Oh, okay. And
the two people
That's
are
right.
licking toads.
Yeah, I remember that episode.
So Beard wants to do drugs because apparently Beard has no issue taking drugs and having a full-blown panic attack. It works with his body.
He probably doesn't have a panic attack.
No, he doesn't. I know. I was a little nervous for Ted because if he's prone to panic, it might not be a good scene. he puts it in tea. So now, I mean, you're giving Ted something he absolutely doesn't want to drink. He's already nervous about the drug, and you're handing it him in tea. And he says, it's like, wait, I wrote it down. Where'd it go?
It is poop in a...
Hiding poop in a smoothie of barf.
In a smoothie of barf. Oh my God, I can't even say it.
That's so disgusting.
And it's disgusting.
So Ted can't drink it. And when he turns around to tell Beard, like, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Beard is already down.
He's slurping the cup. He's like almost licking the glass. I know, it's excellent.
So the floating Dutchman guy comes back to his house and he asks to come in. And Rebecca's just sitting there drinking tea. And she's like, it's your house. Of course you can come in. She tells him, like, you didn't have to leave. But he says, well, it's got to already be nerve-wracking to take a shower in a stranger's bathroom.
In a stranger's boat house. Bathroom.
Yeah. And he's like, I didn't want you to think that I was hiding somewhere looking through a peephole. And she's like, oh, you just kind of dated yourself. Right. Do they not have peepholes at all anymore? It's all webcams now?
Why are you asking me? Why am I all of a sudden the expert on peepholes and webcams?
That's true. Hopefully you're not.
I'm not.
This will go downhill. So she's like, oh, dated yourself. And so I think that there's like, we're going to check off age appropriate for this guy because they do seem similar in age. So she's like, I pictured you as more of a webcam guy. So, you know, the whole time she's in there in the shower, she's like oh, dear God, I hope there's not a webcam here somewhere.
Oh, my God.
And then she's like,
still could have been. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
But I doubt it.
So she's still like on guard with him. Is that the right term?
Nervous around him. Guarded.
Yeah. And you know she has to be super uncomfortable because she's just standing there in a bathrobe with wet hair. And then he realizes that her foot is bleeding.
I know.
And she says, how did I do that?
I know. We probably, when you fell into a canal off of a concrete bridge.
Maybe when you were struggling to get yourself onto a boat.
Right.
That too. Yeah. At any point, this could have happened.
Yeah.
She could have maybe nicked herself. Well, I guess she wasn't shaving in there. She didn't feel that comfortable.
All right,
but yeah, there were plenty of times this could have happened when you just threw yourself into a canal. So he goes and gets a Band-Aid and he patches it up. And then before he's done, he kisses her. Like, not her.
He kisses her foot.
Yeah. Ankle area.
And then she was like, whoa.
Yeah. So, yes, the right response. She like pulls back and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Force a habit. And she remembers he has a daughter. He doesn't know that she knows that he has a daughter, though. And so then she's like, oh, yeah, all that military.
Right, the military training.
Which is cute.
I guess he was kissing a lot of feet in the military when he would clean a wound and bandaged it.
Now, again, the patching a Band-Aid, you know, is kind of a trope that you would see in a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
You know, they're in the situation and he is helping her, showing her he's kind or whatever. So I feel like that could be a cliched trope that they're going for. But again, the way it's happening, I don't think it's for the main story.
You know, side note, I love these chairs in his living room.
I know.
God, they're so cool.
This set is gorgeous.
It really is. The lighting is incredible in it. They did a really good job with it. But those chairs are so cool looking. The wooden arms and the...
Yes, they are very nice.
Really nice.
It's so sad to think that they do all of this. It's so detailed. So much work went into filling every shelf.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Filling all the walls with the pictures. And then it's done in one episode.
I know.
Like, I would be like, can we please keep the, someone will buy this and shoot their short movie on this.
I know, I'm telling you. I mean, I worked on a couple of films and I was set dressing and I watched the construction build these sets for weeks and weeks and they would shoot one day on it, you know.
I know.
And then it's torn down and usually thrown away.
Wow.
Or it's stored or whatever.
Yes, that's the thing. Hopefully maybe they store some of these sets.
Well, they don't throw everything. They don't throw the furniture and the props away, obviously. But
right.
It's crazy.
He goes over to his closet and he pulls out a bin of clothing.
Or I guess in England, Lord Lennon's referred to as a Tupperware box. A large Tupperware. Which
I know, and I
think that's great that they refer to it as that. I'm guessing.
Well, I'm guessing because either that is how...
Or she's so out of touch with Tupperware and
or
leftovers.
Tupperware is a very American thing, so they threw it in there because...
Yeah, I got you.
And
oh, yeah.
She maybe wouldn't have said it, but that. They sometimes do. I know, yeah, I actually meant that. To look it up, but I don't know if Tupperware is popular in the UK, but possibly it's very old. So she's like, should I be worried that you have a large Tupperware box of women's clothing?
Again, suit of skin.
I know that a lot of people kind of got creepy-ish feelings from this guy. But I think we're supposed to. Because, okay. A little bit. Because he is doing things that are nice, but in a way that you... It is a little bit creepy. Like,
right.
He has an explanation for it, you know? And right. The tea, which I promised I didn't drink it, but he has an explanation for it.
Right.
And so I think that we're supposed to just kind of be as reserved or a little nervous around this guy as she is.
Right.
First.
And it makes sense. And then she's asking, because obviously it's something you would ask, why do you have a bin of women's clothing?
Right.
Especially with such limited storage space on your little houseboat.
That's a really good point.
I wouldn't have a bin of women's clothing.
Yeah, let's
I was
get
single
rid of
on
that.
A houseboat. I minimalist.
Maybe he's just holding on to it for his daughter.
Sure.
So he's like, no, that's my ex's clothing. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Did she pass? But he gives some indication in past tense, like that she's no longer here.
Right.
And he's like, unfortunately, no.
No. I laughed. That was funny.
That was good. He offers her a drink. He offers to make dinner. And she's like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to wait for my clothes and then I'm going to leave. And she realizes that she still has 2 hours and 40 minutes on the dryer.
I know, again, with those washer dryer combos.
So she does agree to dinner and the drink. She goes to get an outfit to change into and he tells her, oh, no, wait, she doesn't agree to the drink yet, but she agrees to dinner and... Right. To change. And he says, you can go change and then we'll have dinner and then I'll give you a foot massage.
It's like, whoa.
And she says, absolutely not.
Right. Because, you know,
again,
the guard's got to be up.
Correct answer. Yes. Like Keely a couple episodes ago said, the line between romance and stalking is very thin.
Yeah.
And here's an example. Like so many rom-com movies we grew up with, if you really look at the behavior, you'd be like,
that's
or at least now, like, oh, that's kind of creepy. Like, John Cusack standing outside of her window with a boombox after she's repeatedly told him she doesn't want to go out with him.
Right.
But instead, like, that's considered romance.
It'll
when,
get you shot now.
Yeah. No kidding. But it's, like, I think we did kind of grow up with, like, a bit of a weird view of what romance is supposed
to be. Yeah, we thought, I mean, I always thought... That was Say Anything, right?
Yeah.
I always thought that was so cool. I'm like, God, that's so cool. And you've seen it recreated in several sitcoms and TV shows and movies.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know?
And on TV, it's funny, but it would be kind of strange in real life because you need to believe a woman. Like, that's the thing, too. She doesn't like him, and then she does, I think, right? Or does
yes,
she?
Yes. Yeah.
And
Say Anything, it does.
So it's also sending a bad message. Even if we think back to... last season, when Rebecca decides she's going to text Sam and ask him where he lives or what he's doing or whatever, and he gives her his address, and then she goes to run to the front door, and he's right there.
Yes.
And I think they were kind of making a joke about it in the same way, because, like, that is a bit creepy. Like,
it is.
Why were you
why was he
right
there?
Outside already? But we've seen it in romance, and it's supposed to be, you know... Something that
I mean,
you
nobody.
Over.
I don't want to say nobody, but I mean, I remember dating and stuff. I'd never have the guts to do anything like that. Like, I'm gonna go stand in the yard and
hope
for the best.
Texts. Like, I guess we could believe he was at the bar down the street and then immediately started running. And because he's so physically fit, he wasn't out of breath.
Yeah, but
it was pretty quick.
Yeah, it was.
She didn't even put shoes on. She
I know.
Just picked them up. Yeah, so. I think that they're kind of going with the same thing here as they did that, where they're kind of showing us
cool.
these like romance tropes. And but you can look at them both ways. You can either think that you could be killed, or or they're very sweet. She says, "Absolutely not" to the foot massage, and he's like, "Okay, you know, then just stand there with tired feet, completely sober."
And then she's like, "All right,
Yeah. So she agrees to have a drink.
Which is a safer move, I guess, than having your feet
rubbed. Manipulated.
Yeah.
For sure. Back in the Beard Ted hotel room, Beard is sitting there caressing, manipulating, molesting.
Again, with the manipulating and molesting.
The arm of the chair.
Yeah, it looks like it's nice material. Like it's some kind of velvet or something. Yeah,
it does look soft. And we're to assume that he is now high, and Ted is still sitting there not high because he didn't drink the tea.
And you know what's great? What I think is great about this scene is Beard is so like such a good friend to him and faithful to him that he wants to go out so bad, but he's like, I want to be here for Ted and support him. Although the minute he says the next thing, which is, you know, if you want to go, and he runs out the door. So he got the okay to go, but he didn't just say, hey, man, I'm just going to go out.
Right, I don't know
what you're going to do, sit here and do nothing.
Yeah.
Like he's sitting there with him, and I thought that was kind of cool.
That was very sweet. He does jump at the chance to leave, but I mean,
At least he made the effort to hang out with him.
Yeah.
Even though they're going to sit in the room and watch whatever they're watching on TV.
So he's like, yeah, if you want to leave, and he bolts, he's out the door.
Oh, they're watching Keeley, right? Explain the hotel.
I think so.
In Dutch.
It was either here or later. So he pulls out.
I feel like that's what they're watching the whole time. That's what I want to believe. I don't know.
I appreciate the want to believe. He pulls out his phone, and he sends Rebecca one more text. And now this is the pathetic text, when the person hasn't written you back, and then and he sent her three gifts that we saw. Between the first message and the last message.
And the one gif of the Roadrunner looking with binoculars is excellent. Like he's looking for her. It's so funny, so dead.
There was one where I thought it was a mammogram photo at first, but when I hit play,
upside down dog.
It was a dog's face, like the shading of the gray and the black fur.
And but isn't he upside down looking?
Or he's like laying on the ground.
Looking everywhere. Yeah. High and low for Rebecca.
Then he's trying his
crying. He's a pathetic dog.
That's pretty much what's happening here.
I know.
And so he sends this, hope you're having a good night text.
Mm-hmm. And if you notice, obviously, I mean, it's obvious to all you Apple users, all the texts are in green at this point because the phone is off. It's dead. And that's what happens.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, everything will go green because the phone is no longer active.
Right.
It's dead.
But that didn't tip him off that anything could be wrong. He very calmly just figures that she's completely blowing him off.
Well, also, if you go to different countries, you can make it where it's, like I have a friend who travels quite a bit. When I text him, sometimes it's green.
Oh,
and it's because he's in some kind of roaming mode or something
where
it's a different plan abroad.
Yeah.
Sorry, anyway, enough about phones.
Ted sends the text, and then he looks aggravated or like stressed as to why
he's in his own head.
But I don't think he looks stressed like there's something wrong. Just kind of like, why is she blowing me off?
Right. And, like concerned. Right.
Yeah,
that too.
And this is the first kind of overt thing I think we've seen or I'm interpreting as he possibly could have a crush on her and wanted to hang out with her, and he's bummed that it's not going that way. I don't know why, though. She's been yelling at him all season.
I know, right? Like, why? And then at this point, obviously, we do see Keeley on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
So to confirm that they have been watching it the whole time.
You're right.
But, like, to show a scene change, like, what happens next is they show Keeley, and then it shows Ted's glass almost empty of the tea. So somehow he was able to drink down the poop-filled barf cocktail. As he would have referred to.
Yep.
He must have mustered through it, just pounded it down.
He did. He's
and you hear
so
the door
upset.
Slam. So he leaves. He's like, you know what? F this. I'm going out too.
Yeah. I can't just sit here for the rest of the night now that I'm realizing that there's no way we're going to meet up at any point this evening.
I'm heading to the Yankee Doodle Burger Barn or whatever.
Maybe he threw it back like Rebecca pounding champagne.
Yeah, just sometimes you got to do that.
Now, when we see you, Rebecca, again, oh, that's cute. He sent her back to his daughter's room to change, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The daughter's room is supposed to be behind there. And she comes back out in a pink sundress. So now we have never seen Rebecca like this before.
I know. Like, honestly, there's a couple of things in this that you're like, wow, you never seen Rebecca this way.
Right. We are really starting to see the other side of Rebecca without all of her armor. And Hannah Waddingham has said, like, she plays Rebecca. And she purposely has Rebecca always in heels,
mm-hmm.
tailored clothing,
yeah.
makeup perfect, because that is her armor.
Right. That's, yeah, the persona you're supposed to.
Right. And we've seen her soften a bit this season with like some pinks. She's wearing a lot of pink this mm-hmm. season. Her hair's down more than up, which before that's it true. Was up a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're seeing a softer side of her. But now we're seeing her in the sundress that we would have never seen before. And her hair is wet or almost dry and like just kind of wherever she has some makeup on, but you know. She's supposed to not have any makeup.
TV makeup on. Yeah.
I was like, oh wow, you fell into a canal, took a shower, and your mascara still looks fantastic.
Yeah, how do you do that?
TV. I love it. So she's like, oh, your wife had good taste, or your ex had good taste because she likes the dress. And he's like, no, she hated that one.
Yeah, no, it's the one he bought for her, which is great.
And so she's like, oh, okay. And he offers her a drink, and this time she says yes, doesn't hesitate. So she's pouring a drink. She's like, should I be concerned that a large Dutch woman, a giant Dutch woman, is going to come in here and beat me up wearing her clothes?
And you know what was cool about this? I'm sorry, quick side note. He offers her a drink, and then she says, yes, I'd love one. And then he says, help yourself. You know what I mean?
Like, he's
he doesn't
not making
go
the drink.
And make the drink for her.
Yeah, that would have been creepy.
Yeah, I mean, he already given her something to drink. He already gave her some brandy and the tea, but...
Yeah, but she watched it.
But I was cool then. She was kind of like... And you can see she's taken aback a little bit, like, oh, okay, I guess I'm making my own drink. Not right. that she expected it, but I don't know. I thought that was kind of a cool...
Yeah.
Cool sequence.
And in this situation, a nice one, because she knows how the drink was prepared.
And she knows, unless there's something in the bottle, but that's my crazy mind.
We watch too much true crime.
Do.
I know.
We do.
The whole time, I'm like, you're going to get murdered, yeah. but I knew she wasn't. So she's like, you don't have to tell me anything about your relationship, because he says that the giant Dutch woman is not going to come back because she's been gone for a while.
Right.
And he just offers up that she was unfaithful and he was in love with her. So it really devastated him.
Right.
He almost, destroyed their family over it. But then at some point he thought, you know, this didn't happen to me. It happened for me.
Right.
And he's better off outside of that relationship.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Rebecca needs to hear.
Right.
Because she is still stuck in this spot with Rupert where she's kind of not letting him go completely.
Right.
And it's only hurting her now. It's not really hurting.
And it didn't happen to her. It happened for her.
Right, because she can now go have the life that she deserves with a man that's going to be faithful to her and a partner. Because that happened for her.
Right. Okay. I like that.
So we see her really respond to that also as far as like getting the message. Then she realizes that the song she hears on the radio, probably not a radio.
Well, yeah. I mean, his little Bluetooth.
Yeah. Who knows what
Dutchman
he's got
speaker.
In there. Maybe he's got a
record player.
He says, she's like, is this a Dutch bloke covering Kenny Rogers? She believes in me.
Yeah.
And he takes offense because he's like, hang on a minute. This is whoever his name is.
Right.
The name
you
of the
try
song,
saying that.
I know. I'm sorry. And he's like, yes, but Kenny Rogers did it first.
Well, he says, no, the gambling man did it first. He says, and yes, the gambling man did it first, which he's kind of like belittling. Kenny Rogers is known as the gambler.
That song is on
the album, The Gambler.
Okay.
And so that was his big song, you know, The Gambler. You know that one.
I do, yeah. I mean,
so,
if I heard
but he
it,
says the gambling man, like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, the American.
Right.
You know what
dumb
I mean?
Dumb American.
Just, right. So it's kind of funny the way he says it, you know?
The other thing I was wondering is, so do you think that Rebecca always knew who Kenny Rogers was, but wasn't going to ever show a like or dislike for him at all in front of Ted because she didn't want to continue conversations with him? Because that's who he says was his first concert. And he sings the song, you know, no one to hold him, no one to fold him. And then she says, stop at the end.
Right.
So she knew the song.
She did.
So I wonder if
she knew that song, which is I guess that was a hit for Kenny Rogers, right? But
I think so.
But, you know, she knows that song. She knows the song, The Gambler. Again, it's on the same album.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, it's The Gambler, is that album. And that song's on. And so, yes, she obviously did. But she didn't want to be like, oh, you like Kenny Rogers. Right. She just like, I want to end this.
I want you out of my office right now. Floating Dutchman starts belting out lyrics to the song in Dutch.
Right.
And then she joins in with him and is singing
the American version, which is great.
So
the scene was done very well.
It was. This guy can sing.
I know. What else? What can he not do?
We're going to find out he can rub feet.
Is there anything he can't do? He can tend to wounds.
Tend to wounds. Has a daughter. This guy looks perfect on paper for what Rebecca Welton is looking for.
Yeah.
All right. So they're singing. It's a great scene. She's being super silly. She like sings a part at the end that I couldn't even understand what she was saying.
I know. It took us a bit.
It seemed so Hannah-esque in her delivery, but
I know it's almost like she just did it improv, you know, like, oh, the scene's over and they just left it in anyway. Yeah. It's cool.
But it's great to see Rebecca Welton like this, hair down.
Right. The armor is off.
I have heard from Jason Sudeikis that the first time he met Hannah, he saw Rebecca. And so he said, I got to know Rebecca first and then I got to know Hannah. But I also wondered, like, Hannah is so kind of silly and playful. If he met the Rebecca at the end first, you know, but that was the Rebecca that he knows in his head because he had written it.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting.
The only thing about this scene, of course, this goes through my head and I'm surprised it didn't go through yours. Did he use the mixing thing he was singing into? God damn it. What are they called?
A whisk.
A whisk. The whisk he's singing into, did he use it again to mix with? Because he was singing probably spitting on it.
You know what? I actually didn't think of it this time, which is odd.
I've been married to you for a long time.
Because anytime you see someone on TV like taking a bite out of something and then putting the wooden spoon back in the meal.
Oh, God, it's terrible. Well, he was singing right into that thing and loud, and you know there was spit.
You're
right.
And
let me mix up dinner a little bit more.
They don't have COVID here, so maybe it's not as scary.
It's still,
he's still probably hoping that she's going to go to bed with him at some point.
Sorry, I should not have brought that up.
No, I think the same thing. Okay, all right, now hang on. Now I'm going to go back to season 2, episode 1.
Here we go. We need a little sound effect for throwback.
In season 2, episode 1, Rebecca goes to the coffee shop and she's sitting with John Wings Knight. Then she starts looking around. She starts seeing couples and a woman alone and two couples that are sitting in the coffee shop.
Right.
And she starts thinking. Again, same people that we saw last week in the fertility doctor's office.
Right.
I will die on that hill. When John realizes that she's kind of not paying attention, she says, dating is so odd, isn't it? We're all strangers, essentially. How is anyone supposed to truly feel safe with someone?
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, you know, my friend Flo once told me that intimacy was all about leaving yourself open to being attacked.
Hmm.
And she's like, isn't that horrible? But then she says, maybe you really do have to be brave. I need to be brave enough to let someone wonderful love me without fear of being hurt, without fear of being safe. I think that is the entire reason that they set this up for Rebecca.
Oh.
Because she is with a literal stranger.
Yes.
And she has completely left herself being open to attack.
Vulnerable.
Tonight. Mm-hmm. He could have killed her multiple times.
Yes, he could have. He could have already been wearing her skin as a suit.
So first of all, it would be kind of bad writing if you introduce this guy and this is truly who she's going to be with when we didn't know him 2 seasons prior. So that's not even entering my mind. I think they are doing this for a reason, to kind of throw people off, one, and as a bridge to get Rebecca to realize, because all night this man has been as sweet as Ted. Like, you know, Ted's rubbing her feet at the end of the night if she wants or asks, and even if she doesn't. And he would make dinner, he would make her feel safe, you know, he would do those kind of things for her. And that's not something that she's ever let herself be vulnerable enough to let somebody in like that.
Mm.
So That's my thing on the Floating Dutchman. Thank you. So while Ted's all...
Send comments and...
yell at me on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
So while Ted's high on whatever the tea was that he drank, he goes into the Van Gogh Museum.
Which is great.
Which we know is open because earlier in the episode, that was one of the ideas that Trent threw out for the guys. And they're like, yeah, no. He right. says that all the museums are open late tonight.
I know, which let us know the museums are open late. Yep. So when Ted goes, we you're know not it, wondering we why know the museum's
why,
yeah. open.
Why is he in there? Remember the Natural History Museum in LA used to do those Friday nights?
Yeah,
those were fun. It was all dark and they have concerts. Okay, tangent. So he's a bit high, staring at all the paintings.
Which I can't imagine it being any better. Quick side story. Years ago, I went to the Salvador Dali Museum in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yeah.
And I'd gotten high before I went. And it was a really awesome experience. I'm not going to lie. It was pretty awesome.
See, so I could see body the museum, doesn't reject.
Like, you can really feel like you absorb the art. I don't know.
Like he's
I know
sitting on the oil.
Right.
Looking around inside the painting.
Especially Salvador Dali, man. That's some wild stuff.
So we hear the docent talk. We hear somebody talking, and then we are revealed to see that it's a docent standing next to him. And he's telling him about Van Gogh. And he says he was haunted by demons, but never let it stop him from finding beauty in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't cover the other storylines on this podcast, but earlier in the episode, Higgins and Will have been doing the whole red light thing. Turns out the reason why Higgins wants to go to the red light district is because that is where Chet Baker died, and he right. wanted to pay his respects. And he says to Will, he had demons, but he never let it stop him from making beautiful music.
Yeah, that's true.
And both of them... He says, how did he fall out of the window? So maybe they don't really know for sure, but it appears that both Chet Baker and Van Gogh committed suicide.
Yeah, I mean, it was ruled a suicide.
Oh, it was, actually?
Yeah, okay. Chet Baker was.
So he was just being sweet. So,
I mean, I'm sure over the years there's been conspiracy theories about whether or not he was thrown out of the
true.
Window.
I'm sure. He tells the docent, you know, back where I'm from, this is our state flower, and he says in Kansas. So this painting kind of has double meaning for him mm-hmm. as far as like making him feel like home. And then, you know, he can recognize this pain because he deals with his own demons and mm-hmm. is trying not to let him stop him from making beautiful football.
Yeah. Yes.
But he knows that his father didn't get out alive.
Right.
You know, it didn't go that way. And I think Ted's always felt like, things could go that way, or he's scared that things could go that
right,
way.
Right, exactly. That's probably more what it is.
Before the docent walks away, he hands him a journal that looks like one of the journals that you'd have in the gift shop.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells Ted, we're closing in a few minutes.
Yep.
Ted decides to go to the Yankee Doodle Burger Barn.
Yes.
Are you proud of me?
Yes.
And this is where things get trippy. So
I know, but I'm so, you know, I'm just really quick. I'm so impressed with this set and what they did here, because it's hilarious. It is like another country trying to make an American mm-hmm. bar, and they just took everything. There's American flags. Elvis is in the background right. on the screen. Like, how's
street
it get
lights.
Any more American than street lights, Elvis, like any more? And they're playing gosh, what was the song? Now I'm drawing a blank. Anyway.
Oh yes.
Very American
it was, yes,
music.
Yes, yes.
So it's just hilarious. And everyone's dressed in cowboy outfits.
I know. Like, is that, I mean, America is pretty fucking embarrassing.
But, I know. But it's like, they're trying.
Is this really what, like, cowboys and Elvis and, like, yeah, I'm sure. Because we probably have ridiculous thoughts of other places until we go and visit them as well. So he heads to the bar. The host comes up and he's got an accent that he thinks is American until he asks him. And the guy says he's from Melbourne.
Melbourne.
And that's Australia, not the one that's in Florida.
Right. I knew
could
that.
Could be confused. No, I know. So then Ted, he's like, which city do you want? Windy City, Big Apple, or Hollywood? And he's trying to tell him that he would like Chicago by doing a Chicago musical right. line.
Tell Mama Roxy Hart is coming home. Lipschitz. And then he does something with a hat, which I don't know enough about the Chicago
I don't
musicals.
Either. We're so uncultured.
But then he says... The guy doesn't get it, so he says right. Chicago, and right. the guy still, no. I don't know if that's Big Apple, Windy City, right. or Hollywood.
I just got this job 3 weeks ago.
Right. No idea.
Ted walks into the Windy City room and he is looking all over. He's mesmerized by probably how ugly it is, but how much it feels like home.
But it's just great, like, that they're just like, what was Chicago known for? And they just throw up, there's pizza on the wall.
Yep.
There's Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Chance the Rapper, which, you know.
But it worked out well because they wanted to fit in three.
Right.
They wanted to get as many threes in here.
And Chance the Rapper wears three hats all the time.
And to get us to the triangle spot. Look at the pepperoni up there. They're I know,
it's
triangle.
Like a cartoon pizza. Yeah. Oh, it's a triangle. Oh,
and
yeah, good point.
And it looks like the peppers are a triangle, too.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Back on the floating Dutchman's boat, houseboat, he and Rebecca are having a very nice dinner. They've been talking.
On a very tiny table. Two very large people on a tiny table.
It's a very small table. They've been talking, laughing, they're drinking wine, and he uses the word, am I going to say it wrong?
Gazelig?
Gazelig.
Gazelig.
Gazelig. Gazelig. I'm probably still saying it wrong. And he says that to describe their evening. And she's like, okay, you've said that word all night or you're choking. What does it mean? So he's trying to describe what it means in English. And he's like, it's kind of like being cozy, like a warm fire.
Okay.
And he says it doesn't have to, you know, just be for a place. It could also describe friendships and people and places.
Your mind, keeping your mind gazelle.
Yeah. Just, I guess, keeping it cozy, keeping it small and intimate. So the dryer dings, and they realize that her clothes are probably done. He had offered to get her water. So he gets up, he has it in the kitchen, dryer dings. She gets up, they open the door, and they touch the clothes, and they are dry.
Yes.
And done. Then they kind of look at each other.
2 hours and 40 minutes later.
Yes. They kind of look at each other. I like the POV they did, too, from inside the dryer looking
neat.
At
yeah,
them.
They did a good job with that.
And I full-on expected here for them to have sex. Like, I thought they were going to kiss right after this.
Oh, well, yeah. She throws the water on the right. clothes.
So she throws the water inside. He throws the water inside because they don't
which
want
is they're
the
both,
night to end.
Which is, yeah, right. It's both of their way of saying, I don't want this to end.
Right. I don't want the night to end.
Right.
And
so that was cool. It was a cool way of doing that.
They turn the dryer back on and sit back down. You know, they could have just don't go home.
Drink more wine.
So yeah, I fully expected them to have sex there. Then we go back to Ted. He's watching basketball.
And it's a old game.
old game. He even does this dad joke where he says he'll tell her, he'll bet her who wins. And she's like, but he says that this he used to watch this with his dad when he was a kid. He has a giant pyramid of onion rings.
That's insane.
And I would love to say that that's making fun of America, but no,
that's real.
At least it's usually a tower, if not a pyramid. So he says, you know, that pyramids are just three triangles kind of backed up into each other. And she's like, oh, okay. And she gives him a list of all the barbecue sauces that he can try with his meal.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know what? Just surprise me. And he hands it back to her. So he just kind of sits there.
He's still watching the game that he's already seen.
Right. And probably feeling a little bad for himself because now he's hanging out with a picture of Chance the Rapper.
Talking to it.
And Rebecca's throwing water on her clothes with some Dutch man.
And then at this point, he turns, look over his right shoulder, and one of the servers is walking by, and it's Nate saying, howdy, partner. So you can tell at this point the drugs are kicking in.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
He's hallucinating. So yeah, I thought that was interesting. That was really funny. That kind of took me by surprise. But I think I kind of forgot about it leading up to the next scene.
Right, you immediately forget that.
I'm sorry, because he says, howdy, Ted.
Because
so he knows who he is. Right.
About to get real trippy. Mm-hmm. So she brings back Arthur Bryant barbecue sauce. Which is a barbecue sauce that he gets in one of the first few episodes when his son sends him a little care package. And he says, do you ever taste something and it can transport you right back to home? And that's this for him. And then you see Rebecca glance at the biscuits and say no.
Mm.
Right when Ted takes a bite of a French fry dipped in Arthur Bryant's, he He's not transported back home. He's transported into whatever the hell.
Whatever the freak happens next. Another thing that threw me off. Like, where are we going?
His little trip in Amsterdam. Yeah, but it had to happen.
No, it worked. It totally works. It's just unexpected.
So he hears somebody talking to him, and he asks who it is. He says, "I'm Ted. Who are you?" And he says, "I'm the true spirit of adventure."
And I like him in Ted Lasso way, immediately gives him a nickname. TSA.
I know, TSA. So he asks Ted, "Do you know where triangles come from?" And he said, "I don't know. I figured maybe God dropped a square and it broke in half." And you see like a manicured hand come down and you hear a whoopsie in the background. And I'm pretty sure that's Hannah's voice.
Is that right? Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
And he says, "No, Ted." And he starts telling him all these theorems that I would never understand anyway because I'm terrible at math. But he's basically showing you how throughout history, the triangles had many meanings. And
special powers.
Yes, it's used in religion. It even is that little creepy, spooky eye on the top of the pyramid on the dollar bill.
Right.
He says Native Americans, the triangle was a symbol of home. And then he's like, "I'm so sorry that the Europeans kicked you out of there." But then he goes on to tell him a story about how a man named Tex Winter, an assistant coach for the Chicago Bulls, came up with this triangle play, which basically is that a person always has two other players to throw the pass the ball to if they need
always
to.
Always in threes.
And since there's five of them on the court, that actually makes more triangles because you can go in different directions between all three of them, and there's always two men to take over, and they can be a little more fluid with how they move around the court. Mm-hmm. So Ted's like, "Oh, you're right." And the TSA guy says, "No, Ted, you're right. Because this is all happening in Ted's brain, as far as we know." So he asks the server as he goes by, what are they singing, a birthday song?
Yeah. Some kind. And it's real American.
It is.
Like, World War II was won by America. And like the lyrics, I'm not singing it right, but it's just so funny.
So he asks the host
like
or the waiter
lesson.
For a pen. And he takes the book that he received at the museum and starts feverishly writing
stuff. Yeah.
Here's something I'm still trying to figure out. So if you look at the journal that he starts writing in, it's kind of greenish.
Mm.
There's green elements.
Right.
And now he is writing a match book because he's writing plays down in this book.
Okay, green match book.
So I can't decide. I think the predictions are done because it was the green matchbook that Sam handed her. It was special because it was special to Sam.
Mm-hmm.
It was shite in knighting armor because that's what the woman heard her say.
Mm-hmm.
And it was her falling into the canal upside down, drenched, but you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be so that we see that it's real. Even though Rebecca doesn't believe it's real anymore because she got bad news about not being able to conceive a child.
Right.
Or, and she won't realize that they were all true until she ends up with a family.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, will they have the predictions again? I mean, the predictions come true again, and it is the right stuff. So a green matchbook from Ted.
Right.
I don't know how they would fit shite in knighting armor again.
Mm.
Unless the theory that Jamie is who wins the whole thing because he's a little shit and he's always in his number is nine.
Right. Oh boy. Wow.
And I don't know how she's gonna get wet otherwise. But that sounded
terrible.
I did not mean that.
Yeah, it's all right.
I don't know how she would be drenched and upside down
in water.
But I think Tish also mentioned lightning, which there was no lightning here.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, that's my... I don't know what they're going to do. Like, I think they could go in either direction.
It's a good theory, though.
And it would make sense.
It's good.
So it goes into a montage now, because where Higgins is with Will, he got up on stage and he's playing Chet Baker music with the jazz band.
Yeah, he got invited on stage, which is cool.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, I love those little montages. They do such a good job.
Oh, always. Yeah.
And you know, and the song is Let's Get Lost. Completely works for this episode. Everybody's getting lost in their own thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's great. It's done so well.
Kind of flow out of the band playing and into the actual song. And we see Rebecca dancing.
Yeah. They have no shoes on.
Yeah. No shoes on. And they're dancing, looking like they're having a really good time. We see Jamie and Roy. They're honestly, they're part of this episode.
I know, I was
going to
bring that up at the
favorite end.
I had a thing to say about it. But.
Yeah. They show them. They've bonded quite a bit. The guys are all having a pillow fight. Finally chose pillow fight over movie night.
All the things they could have done in Amsterdam.
Live sex show. They party are, 2 hours away.
They're having
their first
fight.
Pillow fight.
It's great.
We also see Trent and Colin together because their storyline was that Trent followed him to a bar, got Colin to understand that he also is gay and that he's safe with him.
Right. It was great.
And yeah. And so they started kind of bonding after that.
Every storyline was so good in this episode.
And now they're in another bar and he offers Trent vanilla vodka. And he's like, no, 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 no way.
You know what? It. I think, honestly, I think that's that same bar. Because it's the same bartender. Like
he's like, hey, we got
vanilla vodka if you want it. And so then he's all excited they got it, and then Trent hates it.
That's cute. I didn't realize it was
the
exact one that they go back to.
Yeah, pretty sure.
They're dancing and having a good time. Then we do a slow zoom or pan from Rebecca's face to where it looks like she's enjoying more than a foot rub, which I think was probably intended so that you kind of aren't sure what's going on at first.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. She let floating Dutchman rub her feet.
Yeah, well, at this point, come on.
Yeah. So it is interesting to me. Well, I'll wait till we get there. Yeah, she's completely relaxed now. Like, he could murder her right now.
Yeah, this is it.
But she is open. She has left herself open for attack and now knows what that feels like. We see Ted making all these different plays with mustard and ketchup bottles.
Yeah. They're apparently the players.
Yep. And they brought him.
And the staff is fascinated. The staff of Yankee Doodle Burger Barn.
They're watching. And the one guy says, he's probably going to steal my pen. And one of them says, Derek's going to make you pay for it. And then the girl's like, I fucking hate Derek. So it's the same guy. Well, not same guy,
same
but it's
name,
just funny
Derek.
That Derek. They hate him, and Derek's the manager at A Taste of Athens.
I know,
also.
That's excellent.
Then we see Rebecca completely asleep. So the foot massage put her to sleep. Floating Dutchman puts a little blankie on her.
Yeah.
And then goes to his room and shuts the curtain.
Yeah.
It is only a curtain, but we got the
we got
the symbolism. It's the next morning.
Yep.
And Dutchman is cooking breakfast in the kitchen when Rebecca comes out. Now she's in her clothes again and still looking soft and vulnerable as far as not having any makeup on, and her hair is back just like in a regular ponytail. And she's kind of looking around and she's like, tell me, did we? Questioning whether or not they had sex the night before, which is odd because Rebecca never seemed that drunk, but
I know
maybe she kind of more passed out than fell asleep and then
and just thought she wasn't sure.
Yeah. I wasn't sure what she remembered and what she didn't. And he's like, did we? No.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells her they did not. Then he offers to make her breakfast, but she says that she has to go.
She got 10 a.m. bus.
She does. Yeah. That's the thing, too. Like, she didn't take the bus there, so I wonder why she took the bus back.
She just wanted
maybe she
to
missed
ride
her flight or something already.
Yeah, or that, too.
So she thanks him for everything, and she realizes when she goes to thank him that she doesn't know his name. And then
he doesn't know her name.
Nope. He goes to say, you're welcome, and he realizes that he doesn't know her name. And then they kiss. Now, I get why they didn't have Rebecca sleep with this guy, but if she would have done this last night, she would have had way more fun.
Yep. Yeah, well.
And you know what? She and Ted could get together and she could have slept with this guy a week before because Ted doesn't bother himself with other people's history. He told Roy that when she had sex with Jamie.
I know, but it's a good sign for us that
It is.
You're,
yeah.
Going in the wrong direction here.
Yes. I completely agree. But like I said, if we had more time,
right.
I'd be full on go have fun with Dutchman because he is very sweet and luckily was not a serial killer.
Right.
But we don't have the time for this at all. We are running out of time. So she thanks him for everything and then she tells him, I will never forget you. And he's like, oh, you could. And then he says, people get Alzheimer's.
I know, actually kind of funny.
And she laughs. So that's also a little kind of something that Ted would make a silly joke about.
Right.
And she's still laughing as she leaves. And then here's, I think, what tripped people up a little bit. When she leaves, he is talking to himself in the kitchen and he's like, did we? And then he says, oh, yes, we did. But I don't, he's not saying, oh yeah, I raped you after you fell asleep.
No.
I think he's saying, oh yeah, we kind of fell a little bit in love. Like,
yeah, or did we have a connection? Did we have a good time?
Yeah.
You know, we have a very nice time. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of got from it.
Yeah.
But what do I know?
Now we're back at the bus and we see what's been going on with Beard.
Yes. It's insane.
He gets on the bus and he walks towards the back and he's dressed. So what is this, a certain costume of David Bowie?
Yes, it was Ziggy Stardust. It was almost like Ziggy Stardust was like a, is it a persona or a alter ego? It's an alter ego.
Got it.
And there's an album, Ziggy Stardust, and it's supposed to be, it's David Bowie, but it's not.
I got it.
But there's a, with the, what is the song? Ground Control and Major Tom.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff. That's Ziggy Stardust. So, okay. But obviously, this is a mashup with a pig, so it's right. Piggy Stardust. But he says rashers to rashers, oink to oink, because the lyric is ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Oh,
there's a lyric that's where all that's from.
I see. That makes sense. So now that Beard is on the bus, Ted decides to tell him what he was doing all night long, and asks if he wants to look at the book, and Beard says that the drugs didn't work because he talked to Kenneth and it was a dud batch. So, but it definitely worked on Ted.
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody who doesn't take a lot.
Right.
Probably if, lightweight would be a.
Like, good thing, or else he would have had a full on trip.
Right. Right.
So he shows Beard the playbook and he's looking through it. And Beard recognizes this as something called total football, which was invented in Holland originally. And now Ted's like trying to figure out how he did that because he thinks he made it up on his own. And he's like, well, okay, well, I mean, do you still want to try it? And he says, yes, absolutely. Now, then we see Rebecca on the bus for the very first
strolling
time.
Strolling on.
Yep, strolling on. She asks, is there room for one more? And you can see that people are kind of excited that she's getting on the team bus. So she makes her way to the back and sits down next to Ted. And Ted says, 12 texts,
12 unanswered texts,
3 unha-ha'd gifts. And he said, are we good?
Which is, he was stressed about this whole time.
He was. And she looks over and says, oh, sorry, Ted. My phone is at the bottom of a canal. And Ted asks Beard as if that's Keats or asks Rebecca. And she's like, nope. And then he looks at Beard, and Beard has this look on his face like he thinks she ate the space cake, and that's why she's acting like this now.
Right. But the crazy thing about this scene is really, she shows up, rolling up in the same clothes she went out in or whatever. You know, Beard's dressed as Piggy Stardust, right. But yet no one's like, what the hell happened to you last night?
Right.
I mean, in general, you know, he says, are we good or whatever, but...
Yeah.
There, I mean, I'm sure on the road trip it comes up,
time.
But it's just so funny and the insanity, and no one is like, what did you do last night?
Yeah, how long into the road trip do you think Rebecca was finally like, Beard, why the fuck are you dressed like that?
Right, exactly.
Because she has no reaction when she sits down. She probably doesn't even notice in the moment.
Right.
Then she puts her legs up on the table between them and kind of against the seat. And Ted's looking at her legs. And what, you're a guy. Do you think he's checking her out, or do you think he's just thinking, what is going on? She put her legs up.
I think it's more like, what is this relaxed Rebecca?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
what
yeah
is
that's
this?
A good, yeah.
Because the guard is down. Like, it's, whatever. I got, my scarf is ruined.
Right.
I'm here.
It looks a little dirty.
I know, it's dirty. And if you notice in the, actually, I meant to mention this earlier. Mm-hmm. When she puts she has the shirt on and she comes out and he's cooking breakfast, the Dutchman.
Yeah.
She's got, there's a hole in the shirt. Like it was ruined at some point.
Oh,
it's a tiny hole in the arm.
That's funny.
Arms in the sleeve, but it's, I noticed it.
The other thing I was wondering is, I hope that they washed it and then dried it and didn't just wash it, because otherwise she has to smell.
Yeah, and that's,
there's
scarf.
No way she.
Right. It smells like a canal, an old canal.
Yeah. So Ted notices her legs up. Sees her leaning back, acting all relaxed, and he asks her, is everything okay? And she starts singing Three Little Birds.
Yeah.
Don't
song
worry.
She hated.
About a thing. Yes. She did hate it before. Now she's singing it on the bus in a dreamlike trance.
Yeah, that was cool. That was, so, once again, good, great writing.
And then Beard chimes in with the next part, and they get the whole bus singing. And so everyone is singing Three Little Birds. I think they're back to being a team united now.
Yeah, it was a breakthrough here. And
yeah,
what I love about this scene is the camera starts going down the you know, the middle of the bus, yeah, and they're showing everybody singing. It's questionable whether Roy is singing or not. And I think he is, but maybe he is under his...
Yeah, I feel like...
I just love that they don't... And then they come to the front, and Will is playing stand-up bass.
Yes,
like he's very influenced.
By the jazz.
Very encouraged. Yeah, it was kind of neat.
Yeah, it's such a... I mean, did we cover all the storylines briefly? I think we got them all.
Kind of.
But just so good. Like,
it was.
And I always just have to watch these shows more than once because you catch way more, which luckily you have to for this. But
right. I love the, really side note, I love the, we mentioned it a little bit, but the Roy and Jamie storyline. The fact that Roy is just an angry son of a bitch and Jamie showed him how to appreciate things and have a good time. You know? He's like, we got to get bikes. Oh, no. Showed him how to ride a bike. He showed him the windmill. You know, and when he got on the bike, his mood changed. He's like, let's go see a fucking windmill.
Right.
Which was great. I thought it was just great. Like, this, they're in the moment having a great time. And Jamie brought him to do that after with the history with them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Craig from Peanut Butter and Biscuits says he's said that they want to start a side podcast called Their Bromates.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this episode made me wish this was a Jamie and Roy podcast. That were, not that they get together, but they become bros.
Right. Yeah. It's so cute because, you know what? Maybe if this one crashes and burns, we'll go back and we'll do the whole thing as a Roy Jamie.
They're soulmates.
They're bromates. Oh, no, I can't do that because Craig already wants it. So he can have it.
Oh, he can have it. Maybe you can make a guest appearance.
Now, wrapping all of this up,
right?
I was thinking I can't decide this either. Like, the Dutchman could come back. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him again. I don't think it'll lead to anything, but I think if we see him, there'll be a reason for it and we'll see him again.
Okay.
Or we could never see him again.
Right. We don't want to see him again. And if we do, Sassy better go sleep with him to divert attention.
You know what? Sassy and that guy would really, and then they could, because Sassy's had sex with, oh no, she didn't have sex with him anyway. Yes, hook Sassy up with that guy.
Yeah, get him out of the picture.
Or, now this is a little out there.
What?
What if he didn't exist at all?
All right. I mean, I can almost see that, but...
Because we've heard guardian angels in the past on this show. And now I'm going to call out Kenny from LassoCast. Kenny says, Santa is canon in the Ted Lasso universe. So that... If Santa is real,
right,
other things can be real as well.
Yeah.
I mean, also, there are cosmic soulmates being proposed in this show.
Wow. All right.
So, yeah, like, maybe he was just kind of there to, like, bridge where she needed to be. Maybe he doesn't exist. Maybe really she went to a hotel and took a space cake.
Yeah.
After she had her clothes cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
And then went on that little trip.
Anything's possible.
In the end credits, there are a couple of people listed as himself, Jack Van Gelder, Marv Albert. You said it's because they
The Jack Van Gelder, I think, is a, I'm sorry. Announcer. He's an actual announcer, but he's a Dutch
So he was
probably
the game.
Part of the game one, yeah.
Marv Albert
And Marv Albert's voice is what you hear when...
No. Of the Chicago Bulls game.
The Chicago Bulls game is Marv Albert.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And then it has a third one listed as God, and it says herself, and it's in a capital H, which is funny. So also in Ted Lasso universe, God is a woman.
Yes.
But it's also funny because some people on Twitter were joking that if Hannah is the one that's doing the voice, they listed her as God as herself.
I know, great. So it's just like there's a whole double.
Because you know they're not going to put her voice if, I mean, they wouldn't put Hannah Waddingham there if she is the person voicing God. Which it does sound like her. Okay, now, what did we learn?
Well, I mean, maybe a couple things today.
I think so. All right, so what did we learn about Ted?
We learned that Ted does pretty well on mind-altering drugs.
He does, even though he was normally a beer and Sour Patch Kids guy.
He got his mind open, I think. He got into himself and you know, realized that he was caught up.
I think we might be learning about Ted that he could possibly have a crush on Rebecca.
Yes, and that was my next thing. I figured you'd cover it too.
Without realizing maybe that he has a crush on Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. Like realizing, hey, I kind of wanted to know what she was up to and I wanted to hang out with her. And
I wanted to spend time with her.
So,
here.
Yeah, I think we learned that.
Anything else for Ted?
Mm.
No, as we already knew about how much Kansas is home, reminds me of home, the barbecue, the restaurant.
And I think the restaurant touched with his dad quite a bit. There was a dartboard there that he saw.
Oh, right. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, the dartboard. He used to play darts with his dad. And then the basketball game that he remembers watching with his dad. Yeah. So, I mean, there was almost a panic attack until she came up
with
the sauce.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry. Anyway.
What did we learn about Rebecca?
That she has no idea what a bike lane looks like.
This is true.
Also that she can let her guard down a little bit. I mean, I think we kind of have known that about her.
Yeah.
But I think
that's true.
We found out again that she can really let her guard down and get, really relaxed just like anybody else.
Yeah. I think we learned a little bit more about the real Rebecca that we've heard of
before
as being silly and loves to sing and stuff. So we're seeing that here. I will say, though, that I hope she just only uses this new advice with Ted and doesn't just go into every stranger's apartment, because she will eventually be killed.
Yes, it's only a matter of time.
If Dateline has taught me anything, it is that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then what did Rebecca learn? Rebecca learned that she needs to be open
and
vulnerable,
more relaxed,
to let someone wonderful love her.
And to stay out of the bike lane.
And to
she
stay
learned
out of the bike lane.
About a bike lane.
And I think she learned to relax overall, because
of course,
with the hating the song in the beginning and the song lot at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great.
And then what did Ted learn?
Ted learned that maybe he still has some coaching skills left that are worth something.
That's a good point.
Because he came up with that whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, now it took a mind-altering drug to kind of get him there. But
he just saw it on a sign and wrote it down.
So, when he proposed it to Beard was like, yes, this works.
So I'm hoping we keep this momentum now going forward. So Ted is going to focus on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca's going to stop yelling at people and realize that Rupert doesn't matter that much.
Mm-hmm.
Let herself be a little more relaxed and open.
Yeah, this episode had to happen the way it did, I think.
Yeah.
To kind of clear everybody, and now we're starting anew and then, and see what happens.
And it's right in the middle, right where at the halfway mark.
At the halfway point, yep.
We've done six. We have six left to go. So, yeah. All right.
Six more stressful weeks.
A stress-eating popcorn. Are they any more aware of each other?
Maybe Ted's more aware of her, for sure.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so. If
he was that concerned about where she was and then sent her the, I hope you're having a good time.
Right, because you blew me off.
Because you blew me off.
All right, thanks.
So,
And he brought it up to her, too, which
was
good.
Which he was concerned whether she was good with him. Because obviously he was like, man, I did something, because she is not responding.
Yes. So, I do kind of feel like, I've already said it, he's maybe has a little crush that he doesn't really understand.
Yeah, he's definitely more aware.
Rebecca's no more aware. But I think she needed this experience to become aware.
Yes, to open herself up to the idea.
Yeah, because once she opens herself up and is vulnerable, Ted is exactly what she's looking for.
Yep.
We just saw a different bald Dutch version of him. Not quite as silly. That guy was more, reserved and tough guy a bit. But with kind of a Roy, like with a heart of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he normally kills women and she just got out alive.
Yeah, she made it out. There are skin suits somewhere.
But I think that this is going to lead her to being more aware of Ted.
All right.
Okay. We're done.
That's
what? We thought this was going to be short because we were only covering two people.
Hour, 40 minutes.
This is the longest one we've done all season. I am
sorry. I thought it was going to be complete opposite.
All right. Thank you. If you want to yell at me on Twitter, I will be there for six more weeks.
Yeah, you can yell at me too.
After
on
that,
there.
You'll have to email me. that is all. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.